way too much fun. At our home church, sometimes those young folks, they'd be in the foyer, and they'd be out there laughing and cutting up, you know, just having a good time for church or Sunday school or whatever. And I'll go up to them in a real serious voice, and that's what I'll tell them. I say, look, y'all having way too much fun in church, okay? If you can't have fun here, I don't know where else that you're going to have fun, all right? This is the best fun that you'll ever have. You know, the world offers a whole bunch of kinds of fun, but there ain't nothing like the house of God. Nothing like the house of God. The joy that you can receive in your hearts, nothing like it. Nothing like it. I want y'all to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, how many of y'all ready for Brother Glenn to be back in this pulpit? Amen. Amen. I'm ready for him to be back in this pulpit. I like Brother Glenn. I like his preaching, although lots of times I don't get to hear his preaching, because if I wasn't here, I'd be off and running for Voice of the Martyrs. So, but I do miss the man. Be glad when the Lord heals him, gets him back in here. Turn to John chapter 1 with me. We're going to read a few of these verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you know Him as the Word? Do you know Him as the Word? The only Word? Think about it. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. Three in one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. I ask people sometimes, you know, what part of everything do you not understand? What part of all do you not understand? That means everything. He created everything that was made. There wasn't anything that was made that was not made by Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know that life? Let me ask you something. Do you know that light? You know, the Word of God teaches us that He is that eternal light. He is that eternal light of heaven that outshines the sun, brighter than any light. Do you know Him as that light? We were at a service here not too long ago, and Pastor stepped up to deliver a message, and they had the sanctuary was darkened and only light on the platform, and they had a single light that would shine on that pulpit. But for some reason, no one had turned the switch on. So there was light all around him, but he couldn't read what he was about to read. And he was talking about the light so that the sound people would click and turn the light on for him. But finally, he had to say, "Let there be light." And then all of a sudden, somebody found the switch. Can I tell you that that light in our lives that Jesus provides, sometimes the switch has got to come on. I may have told y'all before, as an old pastor friend of mine, he's been dead and gone 10 years now, made a great impact upon my life. But one time he's walking through the house with his grandson, and they come to a room that's dark. So he reaches to turn the switch on, and when he did, the light comes on. And you know what that little grandchild said? He says, "Look, Papa, the light turned the darkness off." You think about that. The light of the world turns the darkness off. Think about it when He came into your heart, into your life, into your situation, and the light turn the darkness off. You think about it. Do you know him as the light? For his light is your life. He was light. He'll be our life. It says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Now that word comprehend it there means to overcome it. The darkness could not overcome that light. The light overcomes the darkness. You know, things are not really cold. It's just the absence of heat. You think about that. That's just like evil is only the absence of good. So if it's all good, then there is no evil. Unfortunately, evil exists where goodness is not. And the darkness shines in the light shines in the darkness. The darkness could not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Jesus Christ, the light of men, the light of the world. Do you know him? Do you know him as that light? Do you believe that he is the light? Have you seen the light? All kinds of ways that I could ask you that question. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light in our lives. Who are we to be a witness of? A witness of Jesus Christ. Do you know him by your witness? Do you witness? Do you witness with all that is within you? With every breath you take, every move you make, every thought you think? Everywhere that you go, no matter where you are, can I tell you that it's never inappropriate to glorify God? It's never inappropriate. Because you see, he is worthy of it. I love the songs that we sang this morning. He is worthy. He is worthy of everything. Do you know him as being worthy of all things? Do you know him? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which give light to every man coming into the world. The true light. Is he the true light in your life? Is that the way you know him? Does he brighten you up each and every day when you open your eyes? You know, that's a rude awakening, actually, for your body, is to open your eyes in the morning. You think about that. You're just minding your own business, sleeping peacefully, and then all of a sudden, your eyes wake up. Oh, my goodness, you know. That light hits you in the face. You know, the meanest critter that you'll ever encounter is that one looking back at you in the mirror every morning. I know it is for me, maybe not for y'all, maybe y'all are different than that. He was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Though he made the world and everything in it, the world did not know him. Got to have light, don't you? You got to be awakened. You got to be moved. Because I'm going to tell you what, most of us are complacent at best. He was in the world, The world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. How many times have we not received something just because we didn't understand it? How many times have we avoided the question because we did not understand it? How many times? I can't answer for you. I know about me. Listen to me. I'm chiefest among sinners in this place. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. You see, it's simple. It's really simple. The problem is sometimes the light switch is not on. You know, you get carried away with the cares of the world. It tells us to come out of the world. Come out of the world. Come out of the world. Be separate. Don't partake of the things of the world. Do you know him as that light that the switch turned on one day in your life and you were never the same again? You see, when you come into his presence, the word of God says that in his presence that the hills melt like wax. Have your hearts been melted? Do you know him as that light that comes into your life? Do you know him that way? Because I'm going to tell you what, when you do, you are never the same again. Can you go back to that time when you met him? I can. I relive it all the time. It's been the most life-changing experience that I ever had in my life. But can I tell you that there's more? Can I tell you that it only gets gooder? And it does. It does. It only gets better. It only gets to be more. It only gets to be more exciting. It's an exciting thing to serve Jesus because you just never know what's coming next. You just walk in a line minding your own business and all of a sudden the opportunity arises. I told y'all before, you know, there's an old preacher by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. And he talked about opportunities to witness for Jesus. And he said, to never miss the opportunity of a lifetime and the lifetime of that opportunity. Think about it. You see, not all of our opportunities are going to come every day. They may only come one time. And so we got to have the light switch on and know him as our light so that we be ready to give him away at the lifetime of that opportunity. Do you do that? Do you know him well enough to be a witness? Do you know your own testimony well enough to be a witness? Have you relived your testimony? Whew. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Is that the way you know him today? You know, some people are a casual acquaintance. You know, I know a lot of folks on a casual acquaintance. But that's not what Jesus is looking for. He ain't looking for no casual acquaintance. You know, here we are again, and we're going to talk about in the next 20 minutes or hour. About my three most favorite persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That trio right there is my most favorite trio. They're my most favorite persons. You see, God the Father, who loves with an everlasting love. Do you know Him by His love? And then God the Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, shed His blood and paid the penalty for our sin. Took all of the sin of the world. The Father had to turn His back on Him. How painful do you think that was for Christ? And then God, the Holy Ghost, the mouthpiece of God, our comforter, our divine helper, our divine healer. Do you know Him that way? Because you see, if you don't know Him that way, you need to get to know Him. You need to get into this Word and let the Word get into you so that you have a deeper relationship with Him. Not just a casual relationship. You know, years ago, I think probably back in the 80s or 90s, there was a song that says, "I don't want to be a casual Christian." Being years ago, it was one of them pop songs, you know. It was before I even got saved. But I've heard it sung before, and it's in your face about being casual about your relationship with Jesus Christ. To get to know Him, I mean, really know Him. You know, John the Baptist was standing in that crowd by the river baptizing folks. And you know, John knew who Jesus was. But you know the way he described Him? You know how John knew Him? He said, "I'm not even worthy to loosen the straps on His sandals. And I baptize you in water. But He is coming, who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire." Do you know Him that way? Do you know the excitement of the Holy Ghost living within you? That fire of His love that will come out of you because you know Him that way? I'm going to tell you what, it's exciting. It's exciting when you can, you know, when you have the boldness just to walk up to people and just start holding a conversation with them because that love of God is just pouring out of you and you just start talking to them about God. They didn't invoke the conversation, you did. You see, we're supposed to be the thermostat, not the thermometer. We're supposed to set the temperature, not just read it. That's right. We're supposed to make an impact upon those in the world, not the other way around. We're supposed to draw them into the light out of the darkness. Do you know Him that way? Do you really know Him today that way? Because if you don't, you need to. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lost and dying world out there that's a prime target for each and every one of you. Everyone. Every one of them got a big old bullseye on them, okay? I need Jesus. And believe me, He'll help you if you'll go. If you'll grab a hold of it, if you'll turn loose of what's holding you back and go after them. Do you know Him that way? Do you know Him as the light of the world? Do you know Him as the light of your life? Because if you do not, you need to. You need to. You need Him terribly bad. I can tell you, you need Him terribly bad. You need Him more than just your Savior. You need Him more than that. You see, when Jesus came walking by and John's standing there talking to his disciples, he says, "Look," he says, "Behold," he said, "Look here, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." the Lamb of God. We sang about the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do you know him as the Lamb of God? You know, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. All of your ways. Like I said earlier, I've asked many a person, what part of all don't you understand? In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. He is responsible for the plan if you'll just follow the plan. Do you know him as your ultimate planner? You know, we make a plan of all kinds. If we're in business, we make a plan for business. We make a plan how to execute a job. We make a plan on are we going to go to another restaurant, and what restaurant are we going to, and can we get there? Do we have enough fuel to get there? Are the people we're meeting going to be there on time? You know, we have a plan for everything. We have a plan for finance. We have a plan to buy an automobile or buy a house or do maintenance or an add-on. We got all these plans, but are we doing his plan? Do you know him as your ultimate planner? Do you know him as the one who is the ultimate builder? Everything exists because of him. Just like in the first chapter of John, there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by him. Because you see, if you acknowledge him, he directs you. Is he the director of your heart today? Is he the director that sets the path, that sets everything into motion for you? That goes before you, opening doors, and comes behind you, shutting doors? Do you know him that way, as the person who always has your back? Do you know him? You see, some of us have some really good friends. Like I told you, I have a lot of casual acquaintances. I do a lot of traveling around. I meet lots of different churches, lots of different pastors. So I have a lot of casual acquaintances. And then I have friends that I have known for a long time, such as a lot of you. I know people that I have known for a long time. And then I have people that are real good friends that I have traveled with, I've ate with, I've worshiped with. I've been a part of their families. I've been a part of things that are personal in their lives. You see, there's all kinds of friendships. But you know, Proverbs 18:24 says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, a lot of times your friend may stick closer to you than your blood brother. You think about that. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus Christ. That friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you know him as that good friend? You see, a good friend, you can talk to them about anything. They're not a tongue wagger. They're not a criticizer. Most of the time, they're just there and they listen. A really good friend listens. And then he listens to the Spirit of God if there's something to be said. Not something that hurts or tears down. Maybe something that feels like it hurts at first, but it's something that is necessary. You know, a real good friend will tell you the truth. Do you have that real good friend in Jesus? Because he'll always tell you the truth. Do you know him that way? Do you know him as that good friend? I heard an acronym here several years ago. Maybe y'all have heard this before. That there are those who consider themselves to be Christians, but they are CEO Christians. And that ain't chief executive officer. They're Christmas and Easter only. You see, I know that y'all don't know him as a CEO because you're here all the time. And especially on Christmas and Easter. But there are those that claim the name and don't walk it. You see, they don't know him. They know of him. You know, I know who the President of the United States is, but I don't know him. So how do you know him? Do you know him on an intimate basis? Do you know him on a personal basis? You know, just because you came up and you prayed a sinner's prayer and you really want him in your life and you really mean what you're trying to do and you turn away from those things in the world and you start following after him, there's more. There's more to knowing Jesus Christ than salvation. But can I tell you that salvation is the first step? Salvation is the first step. Confession of sin, repentance of sin, turn away from sin, and then follow him alone. It's just first step. Because I'm going to tell you what, you get to know somebody really good as you walk with them. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're walking with the world, you're at enmity with God. That's what the scripture says. If you're walking with the world, you ain't with God. That's why he says, come out of the world. Be separate. Walk with him only. So if you don't know him on that intimate and personal basis, you need to get to know him. That's what the Bible's for. That's what prayer is for. That's what Holy Ghost is for. You get to know him on that personal basis. Do you know him as the captain of your salvation? The ultimate authority of your salvation. Do you know him like that? Or are there others out there that sway you and that you go to first before you go to him? I think we're pretty bad about that. You know, we ask everybody else's opinion before we get to Jesus and ask him his opinion. Do you know him as that captain of your salvation, fully trusting in him? You see, if you'll do that, he will keep you on course through the storms of your life. You see, some of us want to hang on so tight to that steering wheel that we won't let go. What do they call that wheel that steers the ship? It ain't a steer. I guess it's a steering wheel. We want to hang on to that steering wheel, and we want to do it our way. You know, the world thinks that's cool, you know, to do it my way. But Jesus don't want you doing it. He wants you to do it his way. You want to be with him and for him and about him? You're going to do it his way. Do you know him that way as the captain of your salvation? Or are you still hanging on to that steering wheel with a death grip? Because I'm going to tell you what, if you keep hanging on to that steering wheel with a death grip, that's what you'll get is death. You won't get eternal life. Do you know him as the keeper of your heart? You know, the Bible says that our hearts are wicked and deceitful. We just might need a keeper that can keep us on line, keep us on track. Do you know him as that keeper of your heart? Have you allowed him to shine the searchlight of his love around in the rooms of your heart? You know, that's something to let Jesus go looking around in your heart with you. You ought to try that someday. See what kind of stumbling blocks he can find and what kind of dark corners that he can find and, you know, what kind of hindrances and obstacles that still might be lurking in there. Because I guarantee you there's probably some. And he'll confront you over it. Do you know him good enough to let him do that? Do you know him as an organ donor? Y'all heard me before. Y'all part of the family of the biggest family of organ donors in the world. Y'all gave your heart to Jesus. Okay? Do you know him as an organ donor? You gave your heart to him. He's the great physician. And now you have a new heart? Because you gave your old heart away, and now you have a new heart. I told you, he's a great physician. He's doing heart surgery long before they ever came up with that. He knows all about heart surgery. Do you know him as the lover of your soul, the one who captured you? That's the only way I knew how to put it that day. He captured me on that roof. He captured me that day. You know, he had me right where he wanted me, and I couldn't get away. He captured me. And he had his way with me for about 10 hours on that roof. And I wasn't the same roofer when I came down off that roof. That's my wife. Something happened to me that day. I gave away the old heart and got a new heart. Do you know him as the lover of your soul, the one who captured you with his love, courted you, and wooed you into his presence? Boy, you talk about the ultimate courtship. You ought to read over in the Song of Solomon, or maybe in your books it's the Song of Songs. You ought to read through it sometime. The ultimate courtship, the ultimate romance. Wooed you into his presence for that intimate and all-knowing relationship that he wants with you. Do you know him that way? Do you know him? You see, he wants you every day, every hour, every minute. He ain't no part-time savior. And you ought not be no part-time Christian. It ought to be a full-time job for you. Do you know him as healer? I can testify as healer because I've been healed. Miraculous healing. Back and shoulders. Just healing. You know, Isaiah said that we were healed, and Peter says we are healed. And I don't care if it's were healed or are healed, I are healed. And I am healed. And I will be healed in the future. And I'm still looking for healing for others. I pray for that divine healing. Because it was no healing of man, it was only the healing of God. Won't you come up, sister? Do you know him as your healer today? Do you believe that he heals? Do you believe that he touches the physical body? Do you believe that he mends relationships, marriages? I know that he does. And I know that he can for anyone who needs him. But they got to know him to have it. Got to know him to have it. You see, he can do all of this and much more. I can't even touch the tip of the iceberg this morning because I would be here the rest of the afternoon and y'all ain't going to hang with me that long. Do you know him as your Lord and your Master? Do you understand what Lord and Master is? That means you are not your own. You don't get to make any decisions on your own. It is his plan or no plan. That's what Lord and Master is. See, that's an old terminology. Lord and Master. Lord of your life. That means you don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't have control over yourself anymore. He has total control over you. Do you know him that way? I hope y'all having as much fun with this message as I did, because I'm going to tell you what, it was with weeping. Because you see, all of us fall short on all of these areas. The world tugs at us. Things tug at us. Life tugs at us. Sometimes we forget, okay? We get spiritual amnesia. And we forget things. But you know something? We serve such a wonderful God. Such an awesome Savior. I told you before, if you stumble, just keep stumbling after Him. He'll pick you up. Just keep going after Him. Know Him more than salvation. Know Him more, because there's so much more. Lord, He should be your all in all, your everything. It doesn't matter what you play, sister. Just tickle that ivory for me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you what. The Spirit of God should be everything to you. His Holy Ghost and fire should be what you're after every day, because that is what sustains you in this life to stay after Him. And to stay after a world that hates you. You think about it. You got to have the stamina of God in your life to go after a lost and dying world, because they ain't going to like it. They don't like you to begin with, because you see, darkness and light don't mix. Just like oil and water don't mix. It just does not mix. Do you belong to Him today, hook, line, and sinker? You know, He's always in the fishing business. You need to be too. You need to go be fishers of men. You see, if you don't know Him in all these ways and many, many, many more, you see, He wants to be your first priority, not your last resort. He don't want to be your last resort. He wants to be number one in your life. He wants to be the one that you turn to every day. Not just sometimes, almost, could be, maybe. Every day, for sure. Just set your heart and your mind to it. Because you can do it, because He will help you. You can do it. You can. You can. If I can, you can. I know, because like I said, I'm about the weakest one in the room. Can you say with the psalmist in Psalms 119, 165, it says, I love your law and your commandments, and nothing will make me stumble. Nothing will make me stumble. I love your law and your commandments. Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's a tough one. Do you know Him that way? Think about it. Have you surrendered everything to Him? All your hopes, all your dreams, all your life? You can do it, and He'll help you. For that's what He does. He helps fallen mankind. That's what He does. Every day, every way. You see, He's looking to spend quality time with you. He wants full custody, not just weekend visitation. He wants full custody every day. Every day. You see, if you know Him as the one who died for your sin, rose again, sits at the right hand of the Father, He makes intercession for you every day. Every day. I think that's the awesome part. I can hear Him up there sometimes. You know? Say, Father, remember old Tommy down there. Remember him, Lord. He's weak, but he's after you. You see, that's what intercession is you're making intercession, you're making prayer, you're making a plea for someone else. Do we do that? Do we know Him as intercessors? Do we pray more for others than we do for ourselves? Are you that intercessor? Or do you know Him as Paul said, that I may know Him the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Because I'm telling you, if you know him that way, then you're on your way. You're on your way. Nothing will turn you around. You'll continue to go after him. I got one more example, and that's in John 6. You know, John 6 is just full of good stuff. Jesus told him, said, "Lest you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no part of me." A little bit further on down in the chapter there, it says those disciples said, that saying is too hard. Who can bear it? A little bit later on, it says they turned and walked from him or walked with him no more. They turned away. And then Jesus asked them, says, "Who do you say I am?" You know, some say John and some say Elijah, and you know, impetuous Peter, he jumps up and says, "Christ, Jesus, where else can we go? You have the words of life. And we have believed and know." You read it in there. He says, "We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can you tell them out there today, "This is what I know. I know he is the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know him today for salvation, I want you to come. You see, y'all might get tired of me giving an altar call like that, but I never get tired of it. Because, you know, there may be one. So if you know him today with salvation, that's your first step. And then all of these things that we talked about this morning are available to you and so much more. Let's be men and women, boys and girls, that are after him with a whole heart. Let's don't give him just half. Let's just don't give him part-time. Let's go all the way. Because I'm going to tell you what, he went all the way for us. Where would we be if he'd have said, "You know, I don't think I'll do this. I'm going to call that legion of angels and they're going to take me out of here"? What if he'd have said in the garden, "Well, Lord, this time I ain't going to do your will. I'm going to do mine"? Where would we be? Lost and undone without him. But he didn't give up and he went all the way. I want you to stand to your feet with me. It's called getting spiritual exercise. Let's pray this morning as we dismiss. I'm going to pray that you get to know him in all of these areas and so much more in the days to come. Because I'm going to tell you what, your very life depends upon it. And the lives of other people depend upon it. Each and every day. You just never know who you're going to talk to next. So let's pray. Father, Lord, you see every heart in this place today, God. You made those hearts. You breathed the breath of life, Lord, into each and every one of us. You know our lives, Lord, from the beginning. I ask you, Father, today, Lord, that you instill that Holy Ghost and fire, Lord, in our hearts and lives. Lord, that we'll be about your business, that we'll come to know you, Lord, not just as personal Savior, Lord, but as Lord and Master of our hearts and lives. That every day, Lord, we'll do our utmost for your highest. That every day, Lord, we'll seek your face, Lord, and not your hand. That we'll go after you, Lord, with all that is within us, Lord. that there'll be those, Father, that we come in contact with, Lord, that shall be saved. That the light switch will come on, Lord. The light of the world, Lord, will come into our hearts, Lord, and you will shine out of us, Lord, into each and every one that we meet. Help us, Father, to be that witness, Lord, because we know you more. Help us today, Lord, to reach out to that one person, Lord, that we're going to come in contact with, that will tell them about you, that their souls will be saved, their hearts will be changed, and their lives will be won. That's, Father, to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we leave this place today. Father, we leave this holy place, Lord, this place of your presence, that as we come together as a church, as a body of believers, Lord, that there is power, Lord, that will go out with us. Let that fire, Lord, drive us, Lord, to doing your will. Ask your Father to bless each and every one that is here today, Lord, that hears these words of life, and that they give those words of life away today, Lord, to whomever that they might meet. And Father, I just give you all the praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.